Worry
is
about
OSHA that down in Wisconsin where we have, that where we've been having knockdowns?
Everybody on the right, close as you can get. We've got a small screen this evening. We fixed it in the future, but tonight we're stuck.
Okay, just move the projector back.
Unless you got an extension cord in your left pocket.
Actually, I might have one out in the van. Maybe.
I
do have one out in the van, actually, so next time we use this, let me know. Let's see how well this works in here.
G, fire starting for a new event?
It's a fun event.
We enjoy it this year, yeah.
In our regional this year, we flew half AVG.
I don't know about that.
Now, that's a real art.
So,
eight.
Hey, it works. Go ISO 100.
Someone's got paragraph.
You're the important guy.
Yes, I do.
You're the most important guy here.
That works.
There's one guy more important than me. Well, that's all right. We're going to get started. He'll wander in as he always does. Oh, well. My name is Mark Fisher. I'm the president of the Queen City Area Rocket Club, and we're hosting Marin 47 this year. It's a pleasure to have you all attend.
Hi, Mark.
Hi. My co-CD, because they won't let me call him that, he's called the contest administrator, is David Russell. He is outside doing registrations, and he is the fellow in the full black beard. What he says, I say, and what I say, his says. So if you can't find me, dig him up, and he'll give you the answer I would give you anyway. We are, for all intents and purposes, co-contestors. We have a number of things I'd like to cover just real quick right off the bat, but I'd like to get as quickly as we can to questions. I know you have a ton. It's the first time we've done a NARAM, and we've done things a lot differently than you've seen them at other NARAMs, and I want to make sure that you all understand why we did them, and if you have problems with them, see if we can fix them. Everybody got their packets. I want to make sure everybody got the four sheets in their packets that they're supposed to get. The first was St. Louis Arch. That's done. You can throw it away. The second one was this route map. If you didn't get a route map, let us know if you haven't been to the field already. It's not that tough to find, and we've set up, oh my gosh, I missed my turn signs, so you can still get to NARAM if you don't see the rocket launch signs.
And if you want NARAM Live, there's satellite, full-color, full-page images you can download. I've marked out the route.
Yes. Chris did a very good job of that. But as it wasn't available at the time I put the packets together, I stuck the map in. Also on the map are directions as through MapQuest. MapBlast gives wrong instructions. Don't use it.
So there's Maps on Us.
Okay. Maps on Us also funky.
Turns you the wrong way at Cox Road.
Turns you right instead of left.
Yeah, they all do that.
Yeah, MapBlast.
Google, everything.
MapBlast does turn you left, thank goodness.
Actually, it does not turn you the wrong way. It does not recognize 7708, so it picks the next closest address, and that address happens to be a right turn.
See, when you put 7700, as is required, as we did in here. All right, if you look at the website, it says that the closest entry address to get here is only 7700 Cox. Through experience, we know that they get you a good set of directions. At a map quest, at least. You also have in your sheet, on one side is the event schedule, on the other side are the team assignments. We went away from color this year and decided to call them manned space programs. So there's Mercury, Gemini, Apollo, and Shuttle. You've all been assigned teams. Those have changed somewhat due to special requests as people have shown up at the field. We'll have the proper list available to the RSOs first thing tomorrow morning so that they'll be able to call the shifts as they arrive. We'd like you to arrive for your range duty at 15 minutes ahead of schedule. The reason this is, at least on the first day, we want to familiarize you with your job. We've put new people in new positions. For instance, Art Upton is going to be an RSO this year. It's his first time. So I'll cut Art a break.
Torture him.
I've had a lot of conversations with Art. I know he knows what he's doing. He's just never had to do it under fire.
But we like torturing our victims.
Yeah, well,
nobody wants to do
nobody
that.
Nobody wants to do that. Absolutely right. On the off chance, Art wants to bail, I've left Trippas afloat, who's an experienced RSO, and he'll be able to step in and take over the job. This brings up another very important point. You will note that on some of the team assignments, some of you in team assignments have been assigned as backup. Some of the people that have been registered for key or important positions on the team aren't going to be here for the entire NARAM. Those people who have been assigned backup will float between the positions that they chose as their first three picks. I hope I don't have to float you into a position that you don't want. I have tried to set up the backup slots to cover those positions that they preferred when they signed up for NARAM. However, if you are afloat and I ask you to do a job that you don't want to do, let me know and I'll see what I can do. Let's see here. As NARAM has grown over the last 2 days and people have come up and signed up to competition fly at the field, which no CD ever told me that happened, I have managed to increase the backup depth to 3 on every team, so we should be covered even if somebody gets hit by a bus.
Beer truck.
Or beer truck, right? Well, the fire truck or the ice cream truck. Insert truck here.
Yeah.
At any rate, let me see if I can pull this up here without looking like I'm 106. Here is the current team list. This list will, of course, fluctuate back and forth. I've heard some comments about young folks doing data entry, unexperienced people doing RSOs. That's our intent. We want to break these people in. We want to get them some experience. If you look at the team assignments, we've tried to put experienced hands with younger, inexperienced hands to try and build the cadre for the next NARAM. I want the next NAR CD to be able to assign this with a lot less effort and time than it took me and everybody else who came before me. We have a problem with a young person not being able to do the job. We have float people that are experienced that would be able to put in those positions. If anybody has any questions or problems about the way that's handled, please come see me. I want to know your problems. I want to get them fixed. Let's see here. One other thing I wanted to talk about really quick. This has been the subject of discussion on Contest Rock for more than I can believe. These are the NARAM notices. The request of several people after NARAM 46, we were asked to announce our rulings according that were required by the Pink Book, as well as any others that we had, well in advance. We did so. These are the NARAM 47 notices. Those of you who have not seen them on the website should go and look at them. I unfortunately did not have an opportunity to print them and include them in your packets. I apologize for that. If you need, absolutely have to have a printed copy, let me know. I'll see what I can do about getting one for you. We have limited printing capabilities here at the hotel, but we will be able to turn them around overnight.
Have they changed in the past?
Most of the ones that have been, I want to draw your attention to this particular rule right here, which I don't know if I can select in Adobe. This particular rule right here, notice 4, distance to the spot will be measured to the nearest centimeter. One of the reasons that we got interested in doing this way ahead of time was that my co-CD, Dave Russell, at NARAM 45, came in first in open spot landing until Chad protested the measurement and he was a three-way tie for first place. Chad suggested that we make that ruling ahead of time. We did. We call notice 4 the Chad Ring notice.
There's already too many Chad Ring rules in the book.
That's why it's a notice. We decided that these were just, these are not rules. These are notices. These are
rules.
These are the rulings. Most of these are rulings required by the Pink Book of the NARAM CD. And for instance, the set duration time, how far judges are allowed to travel, etc., etc., etc. Another one that's gotten a lot of discussion is 14. The entry pitches your yaws more than 90 degrees from vertical powered flight. It is disqualified. This is not meant to hamstring RSOs from disqualifying a model or keeping it qualified if it does yaw past 90 for some reason. If that's okay with the RSO, it's a notice, not a rule. He's allowed to violate anything that would ordinarily prevent an RSO from making a ruling he wants to make. You can ignore. My job, my intent here at this NARAM was to do three things. Break in new people, bring vendors in, and give RSOs their head. We have experienced people in those positions, and I wanted to make sure that they were able to exercise their authority as they saw fit. And then there's one other that has gotten a fair amount of discussion, and I've got to see if I can find it. Oh, well, it's one of these here. It is that the NARM number must appear, 15. If the entry separates the flight, each individual piece must carry the contestant's NARM number. This includes ejected motors. The reason we do this is for twofold. First of all, if you eject a motor in DQ and it isn't impounded, we want to be able to bring that motor back and show you that your motor came out. Number two, any of you who have been out in our high grass looking for a rocket know why we're asking you to put your NAR number on each separate piece. If somebody comes across your very expensive and time-consuming scale model escape tower, we want them to be able to bring it back to you so that you have a decent model when you go home. If there's these extra NAR numbers, your NAR number only has to appear on the outside of your scale model once. Any additional NAR numbers that you have to put on there because the bird separates in multiple pieces can be hidden. They can be on parachutes, nose cone shoulders, whatever pleases you. But we'd like to have your pieces identified so that we can bring them back to you if you lose them.
You can always use the glass flipper technique.
Yeah. Okay, we'll get back.
Chicken will continue
from a shoulder.
To serve as putting the number on any...
inside, yeah.
Any motor that's brought up.
Right, exactly. Oh, right, yeah. If you guys, I think there are reload notices in here. If you guys are going to run reloads, you have to impound just like we did at NARAM 45 and NARAM 46. Your three pack of motors is re-impounded with your NAR number on it. You want to use a reload, we give you the pack, you pull the reload out, you put the pack back. If somebody else wants to use your pack, you're more than welcome to let them do that, but you have to get it out of impound and you have to put it back. Let's see, there were some other things that I wanted to talk about. Oh, ejection is to the widest part of the cloud, or tracking will be to the widest part of the cloud if feasible. We will require that you use tracking powder. We suggest you use pink or red or orange. Unless, you know, one of your friends is going to beat you, then you can get any blue or white. We really don't care.
Actually, if the sky stays the way they're working now, black might work really well.
Black might work really well. This is one of the few places in Ohio where we really do have big sky, and you are not going to see too many clouds until around 2 or 3 in the afternoon. Another thing I wanted to tell you guys is we have gotten superb at predicting the weather around here. I'm prepared to make a week-long prediction on weather that I'll bet you anybody in this room 8 to 5 is going to be right. Tomorrow and the next day will be winds out of the north to northeast at about 5 to 10 miles an hour. We're going to have approximately the same conditions we had today at the field. We're not going to have too many clouds, and the humidity will climb a little bit over the next 2 days, but it won't, as the temperature will, but it won't be too bad. It's not going to get vicious until Wednesday. Our temperatures are going to break 90. Our humidity is going to approach 90. About 2:30, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, we'll start seeing some broken cloud cover until about the time the range closes, and we'll start to look like rain. We might actually get a little bit of rain before we get the rain shut down on Wednesday. Thursday, we'll be back to the way we are today and tomorrow. And Friday will be a repeat of Wednesday. It's going to be nice and hot, nice and humid, and we have a chance of sun showers late in the afternoon. Now that's, we're NOAA and I and the Wilmington Weather Service and us have worked very closely reporting and getting the weather back here. How many of you know what Project Thunderstorm is? Project Thunderstorm was back in 1958. They flew used World War II bombers into clouds, into thunderheads, in stacks to get measurements of that stuff. It was done in Florida and right up the street here at Wilmington, Ohio. We know weather here. So every day we'll be able to give you a much more accurate forecast than the one I just gave you. If you have any questions about what the weather's going to be like that day, buttonhole Dave or I at the event that evening, and we'll be able to give you a superb forecast for the following day. If, by some fluke, the weather report, the weather prediction I just gave you for the week is way off and we're going to lose a day to rain, two things will happen. We'll do our best to get it out to you the night before so that you can go do things. We are miles from the Wright-Patterson Air Force Base and from the Neil Armstrong Air and Space Museum in Wapakoneta, Ohio. If you have an opportunity to get up to the Neil Armstrong Museum, you really should go. It's a fabulous little tiny museum that you can't miss. It's got one of the Gemini capsules he was in. It's got an aircraft he flew off at a carrier deck. It's a terrific spot. The other thing that will happen is those events will get moved to the next day. If that prediction falls apart on Friday and we can't, and we're going to have to cancel PNC and Giant Scale, we'll have to drop those from the NARA. That's going to hurt a lot of people on points. We put the big point events on the last day, and it's really going to sting. I apologize for that, but we don't expect to have that problem with our weather prediction now. On the rare event that we get a rain out on Thursday, those events will be moved to Friday, and the alternate Friday schedule that's in your pack will not be used. The ranges will remain open till 4 on sport and 5 on competition so that we can get those moved events in. If anybody wants to bolt ahead of time, they're more than welcome to if they're not flying those two events. But we will leave the ranges open and use the alternate duty schedules to get it covered. That is, you know, unless y'all have a problem with that. All right. I've talked way more than I wanted to. Questions? Not you. All right. Yeah.
How are you handling marking models and cards for the multi-round event tomorrow?
Marking models for, when you come in to turn to set up your model for the multi-round event, Bob's talking about a rule in the pink book that says you can substitute models. Most events in the pink book only require two flights, and you're allowed to substitute one model, so you can use two models for different flights. When you come in for multi-round, though, you're allowed to fly as many as three flights, but you're only allowed to substitute one model according to the rules. Therefore, two of those flights have to be made with the same model, at least two. Bob wants to know what we're going to do about identifying those models as doing a repeat flight. If the contestant doesn't mind, we will mark the model with a dot that we have from a special super pen that we have to mark the line. That will identify the model as having been checked in for flight once. Once that comes back and we see it again for check-in, you're safe. If you don't ever represent that model, one of your three flights will be DQ'd because you use three different models.
Are you marking the card then, saying that?
A dot goes on the model, a dot goes on the card.
You can make two flights.
We got to see two dots on the cards, or
three flights, two models.
Yeah.
So you have to return at least one.
You put a dot on the model.
The first one doesn't come back.
That goes out. That card's not marked. When you bring the model back, it's got a red dot on it. That dot goes on that card.
Okay.
I got to have one red dot from you on your card, or you don't get it.
Okay. So if I've got, because I'm doing check-in, so. Model number one comes to me.
You put a dot on.
One red dot on the card and one red dot.
No.
Just on the model. If you see a model with a red dot on it, you put a dot on his card.
Yeah.
Okay. But what if the second model comes in on the second flight that I've not?
You put a red dot on the model and not on the card.
Okay.
And he comes up with his third flight, you better bring one of those two you dotted back to you.
Yeah.
If he brings a third model up that doesn't have a red dot, you don't care. You put a red dot on the model and you let him go flying. We'll catch it and check. We'll catch it at data reduction.
Okay.
Any other questions? Bob, I want to thank Bob Caplow immensely. He's been an enormous help with these notices and our understanding of the Pink Book. As most of you know, we're a relatively young club. We haven't been flying competition that long. It was somewhat of a burden for us to get started and run this NARA. Bob's been an enormous help, as well as a number of other people. I don't mean to slight anybody else who's given me advice and help over the years. But Bob's been an enormous plus in this effort, as looking over these notices and talking about our interpretation of the rules. George.
What a loop is, and instead of verbally saying it, just physically. thank Tom Lyon. Do you agree?
Yes.
Okay.
There you are. I have held this meeting for you.
How come it's not in this room?
Anybody else?
There's no way.
I can't believe I don't have more questions in this, sir.
What motors are certified?
We have a complete certified motor list at the field. That's another thing. Bob also commented on 10 that says if we don't have access to NARAM pulse and it's a certified motor, that we're going to use Tripoli. If we don't have Tripoli, we use CAR. Bob pointed out the fact that if it's contest certified, the NAR did the impulse test on it, so there will be NAR impulses. The reason that it was in there was twofold. First of all, I don't trust Bob. Secondly, Aerotech has been promising everybody who will listen to them that the E-15 and the E-30 would be ready for contest certification by the time NAR 47 rolled around. That's not true. If we didn't have new E-15 and new E-30 data from the NAR, we didn't have an R ruling, I wanted to be able to use the Tripoli impulse rating that they may have had for the new motors. Tripoli seems to turn their impulse ratings around a little quicker. So there was that two-week window when I wasn't going to have NAR data that I wanted to be able to have a valid impulse rating. Now, that didn't happen, so it's a non-issue, so 10's probably never going to get used.
Is the E-15 a contest-certified motor?
To the best of my knowledge, no. There has not been an R ruling that would make it a contest-certified motor by the start of competition tomorrow morning.
Okay, because it was in the magazine.
It's in here.
It says it's contest-certified?
Yeah. It says it's contest-certified or safety-certified?
It says contest-certified.
Oh. From Aerotech. That's from Aerotech, right?
No, it's for Rocketry.
It's for Rocketry-certified motor list that said it was, and it's a Mitra. That some people have.
You're kidding.
No.
They made it, that happened. Aha. No. And you laughed at me.
No.
No. What, Lila?
I have email from Jack Kane, head of S&T. E-15s are not contest certified.
Thank you. Okay, cool. All right, this was another one of the things that why we moved A and B to E motors. Because we didn't think that they would have access to a decent impulse in D. You're not allowed to use reloads if you're an A and B competitor, I was under the impression.
That's correct.
George, one more?
Yeah, better question. Actually, it's related to radio control. I'm kind of coordinating RC usage. Is there anyone here who plans to fly RC who has not already flown RC? Okay. Anyone who's going to fly our state, see me after the meeting. I want to write down your name and your frequency. Because there is a local club out here that's a very loosely affiliated group of flyers. It's a club. They have no official frequency pins. They come and go kind of a little gypsy-like in a way. So we're having a little trouble getting an ideal frequency system working. And we were in touch with some of them. They do have a kind of a mailing list between themselves that they knew what frequency to stay away from on Saturday. We need to get that information to them about new people. While we're at Mark, what frequency is it?
72 megahertz, channel 28.
Thank
you. Lila.
Regarding our first event tomorrow morning.
Yes.
Separation. Is there a provision on the white card for timers to write down the model drifts out of their sight? Because that does theoretically make a difference in placing, because if model drifts out of sight, they cannot place but will receive flight points.
That's an excellent point, Lila, and I'll bet you $10 the flight card doesn't do that. I'll make sure it does before we get out to the field tomorrow morning.
Might also remind people that's the first thing they have to fly tomorrow.
Right. Sorry. My mistake. First competition required tomorrow is set duration. If you're going to fly set duration, that must be your first flight of anything on the competition range.
That excludes sport.
That excludes sport. You can go sport fly, but it must be your first competition flight. George.
All there because they can go to the sport range and test fly.
That's what he just said.
Yeah. Yes.
pliable and stable.
I'm going to leave that up to the RSO. Pete?
A couple questions about scale. First of all, where is the scale turn-in happening?
Out the door, turn right.
Okay, is that the same as the judging room?
It is indeed.
Okay, are there forms ready for people to fill?
There are.
As they hand them in. Okay, thank you.
Okay, related question on Thursday. I assume spot landing must be your first flight of that day.
No, actually, duration is the only one you got to fly first.
Okay.
Spot landing, you can fly anytime you want.
Fair enough.
Yeah, that rule only.
That makes sense. You can't practice for that.
In the set open or random duration rule. It's not a general rule.
It's also what's in spot landing.
Is it really? Pink book lawyers, help me out here.
He's saying no.
They changed that
there
one?
Or not?
There's no saying that spot landing has to be your first flight of the day. Only set duration.
That's what I thought. Yeah.
Actually, they have done that before. I guess they thought the same thing as you did. In Pittsburgh, they did that.
Yeah, right. Get it out of the way. Yeah. But there's no rule saying that it has to be your first flight.
Right.
You can fly spot landing anytime during that given day.
Yeah. It's only set duration. We don't want you to get an idea of what kind of thermals you're going to be fighting when you're doing set duration. Open spot landing, you're only going to go 10 feet if you're smart anyway.
When are we turning motors for impound?
You can turn in motors for impound at any time during check-in. Check-in people will be instructed on how to do that. This reminds me, immediately following this meeting, everybody who has an assignment of check-in, I want to see you over there. Those of you who have done check-in before at NARIMS know why.
That's the torture zone.
Yes, right. Exactly. The chair,
the electrode
at the bottom.
They
check
in and they check out.
Okay. Bob, real quick.
I'd like to ask the people that are RSOs and LCOs to keep lists for me for best Midwest qualified flight, and also those who were helping out on the sport range or the FAI range. I'll accept nominations from either one of those also.
Bob, the winner was discovered today.
All right. Chad hasn't flown yet.
Chad's going to have to set the field on fire.
Not necessarily.
Yes, please. I'm sorry?
Will we be able to check motors in for scale and PMC on Thursday night to prep overnight?
You mean reloads?
No, just
no, any motor.
Any motors.
Instead of waiting until Friday to check in the motor and then prep on the field. I wouldn't set up to do that. We're going to put a notice on the check-in people. Who here has a check-in rule or has a check-in job? Raise your hand. Do you guys mind if people come up and check in for an event you're not going to be check motors in for an event you're not going to be running
Check in should be irrelevant. Check in, check out. Doesn't matter what it's for.
Well, I need to have flight cards there. You guys are going to be dealing with dual flight cards. You're going to be here to have your events from those 2 days plus scale of BMC.
Why would the check in be on the flight cards?
If we're checking in Thursday,
it'd be like a radio impound.
Us working longer.
I'll tell you what, guys. With some meeting in the immediate future, I'll tell you whether or not we're going to do that. Thank you for the suggestion. Anything else real quick? I want to get Mr. Lyons on so we can go do the check-in. Okay. No, we're Tom's first. Tom's first. Then you.
Any questions on the event rules? Set duration tomorrow. Must be your first competition flight of the day, as Mark said. Any other questions about that? Cluster altitude. You all know that deal, right? The idea is to cluster, not air starting. Air starting is considered staging. All motors must light as close to simultaneous as you possibly can. If you don't light all the motors, I'm sorry. If the rocket leaves a pad, it's a flight. And you got to return it. Big question about cluster. Everybody understand that rule? That was simple.
Come on.
E-15s. Somebody mentioned that. The latest published list does have the E15 and the E30 as contest certified. From my understanding, and I wish Jack was here, I don't see him, but the older, before the Aerotech fire, those motors were certified, and they are supposed to be still certified. The new batch that they've been making has different impulses. If you look on the packaging, like the F motors and the E motors, different power ranges, different impulse, different burn times. With the older motors, before the fire, those, under my understanding, is still contest certified.
The contest certification of all those motors was dropped because you couldn't get them.
Some of them were still lit because there was plenty of them on the shelf.
Are you on the internet here or just...
No. You can still buy five-year-old E15s now in a hobby shop. Alan Hobbies carries them.
I was here to explain that to me because I was always under the understanding that the older E15s were still contest certified because there was plenty of them around.
Okay, guys, our first E event is Thursday. We'll have this sorted out and we'll tell you exactly what you're allowed to fly well before that day happens.
I said screw it and let them fly. Who cares? It's an E15. Who cares? Just let it fly.
The E30s were allegedly in production the whole time through other manufacturers, through like Ellison and so forth. So we maintain contest certification on those. It is my understanding that E30 is contest certified and has been contest certified. E15, there was not an R notice issued reinstating contest certification on the E15. The combined list that was recently published in the magazine does have the contest certified notation on that motor. There was correspondence from Jack Cade indicating that the E15 has not been reinstated, but their confusion has been generated because of that.
So the older E30s are good?
Any E30 is good.
Any E30 is good.
No E15 is good.
No E15 is, but the E30 is good.
The E30s have been back in production post-fire for a whole year.
Yeah, well, they were never out of production. E30s have been in production continuously by other manufacturers. Ellis bought the rights from that for that propellant formulation from Aerotech.
Mark, is there some place you're going to post any of these things, that any latest updates?
I wish I could tell you that. I really do. But
take one of these.
As most of you know, the hotel is not the world's best. Yeah. And we're still trying. I couldn't get a freaking screen this evening.
Is it going to be your door?
No, I'm not here at the hotel. What I'm going to do is I'm going to find a board and post it out here in the assembly area.
By the morning, the MP3 for this will be online.
Can't get to come to the meetings.
Yeah, but how many of us are online
here? Will it be a central spot?
Yes. When next time, one of these days, you're going to come down here to this assembly area and go, oh, that must be the RM47 notice board. I'll go over there and read that.
Thanks.
Okay. Good suggestion. Thanks. You know, it was in the back of my head to do. Now it's in the front.
Where's the results going to be posted?
Posted at the field. Hopefully, we'll be able to get them posted down at the gazebo so you can go see them for lunch. And we'd also like to get them posted up at the contest tent as well. At the very least, they'll be at the tent.
Well, I'm talking about the finalized, certified, this is what we...
The end of the day results.
End of the day results.
End of the day results will be available the next day at the field. The end of the meet results will be available as soon as Tom says they are.
So there's not going to be any, so that people can come up and say, that's wrong on my flight.
They can do that the next day. Yeah.
How long will turn-in be open every night, and will that be at the field?
Turn-in for?
Returns.
Returns, that's a notice.
Yeah, but it was kind of an ambiguous answer.
It wasn't to me. So I got to look at it and see what's here. A reasonable time is what it was, right?
Yeah, what are those reasonable times?
Reasonable times shall mean the end of the day's competition. That means returns close at the end of competition. Range closes at 5 o'clock. You don't have a return at 5. You try and return at 5:01, no luck.
What about the first guy who hits one of the weeds at 4:55?
He's screwed.
Walk.
He's screwed.
What's
I know they're not going to like that. Maybe you should have flown at 4:50.
How is that reasonable?
There's no...
unmet after you get an hour and a half.
Okay. All right. Tom suggested we extend to 6. We'll do that. The voices in my head don't like
who's
Tom.
Running the little controller?
Guys, I want to let you know, too, that we're going to have FRS frequencies assigned. Trackers are going to be on channel 9 of the FRS frequencies. NARAM staff is going to be on channel 6. You can listen in on either one of those if you'd like, but please do not broadcast on this channel.
Or we'll skin you alive.
I'll just have Chris sit on you. Would you guys like, you're one of the data entry team, would you like to do that?
Yes.
Okay, great. We'll set that up. We've been 6 and 9, we'll do 12. You guys will be on channel 12.
It was the thing where we would lost track or something, did not close, and they would get a chance to do a read light.
Yeah. They could listen and know before it got posted.
That's
so they can go and prep right away.
I'll tell you what, guys, we'll just do all of that on channel 9. You guys, the trackers will call in.
No.
Okay, great. Well, then, like I said before, we'll do that on 12.
Okay.
Anything else?
Yeah. If any of these notices that you're going to post up here in the hotel, could you also post those same notices at the range for anybody not staying here?
You mean like the weather report for the next day? Or?
Well, whatever it is, if you're going to be posting here, make that
the results will be at both places. I hope to have the results at both places. Yeah.
Is there anything that's going to be posted here at the hotel but not at the field?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay. If there is, he'd like it to be posted at the field as well because some people don't stay here.
Anybody else? Yeah.
Off the subject of flying, will food be available at the range for lunch each day?
Yes.
And will the ice cream truck
available from 11:30 to 4:30 every day?
And will the ice cream truck be back there?
That's up to the guy. 11:30 or 1:30 or 2. They changed. They had longer hours during the weekend.
Right.
So it's 11:30 to 1:30. You got about a 2-hour window to get down there and get those. Those are actually pretty good.
What about those who are working that shift?
Everybody knows that your pizza people will deliver out there.
Oh, yeah. If you call Domino's, they'll deliver to you at the field. we're out here enough that they actually, oh, yeah, you guys are Rocket Dudes? No problem.
What's the number?
I don't know.
Tell them VOA Park.
It's good to be the king.
In Park,
yeah.
And La Rosa's too.
La Rosa's will also deliver to the field as well. So just make sure you give them some identifying mark, like I have up a North Carolina flag, and they'll come deliver to you. They're really good about it. Also, TGI Fridays has free delivery to the field for anything over any order over $25. Their little flyers are available from us at the what used to be the registration table will be the returns table tomorrow. No, this is in Texas. Anything else? Okay, guys, go do your return or go do your check-ins. Oh, Tom Beach has something to say.
I still need some people for writing articles for the magazine for different events. So if you would like to volunteer, come see me now. I need someone for set duration, set precision duration, A cluster altitude. Do you want to write that exciting article? A cluster altitude, B super rock altitude, D and E dual egg loft altitude duration, and open spot landing. So I need some volunteers. Come see me. I'm right here.
Dual egg loft altitude duration.
Dual egg loft duration. No
altitude. Next year we're thinking about sports scale altitude duration.